Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's great to hear your voices, or it's great for you to hear my voice. This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, and we are on episode 26. Today is April the 24th, 2016. How are y'all doing out there? T-Ray here, and with me as co-host is...
We got Joe.
Joe, out in Pennsylvania. How are you doing, buddy?
Not too bad.
Good. Well, it's mid-playoffs, isn't it?
Mid-hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup.
Right. Well, the good sport.
Yeah, that's my other sport that I follow here pretty heavily, so.
Awesome. Well, I'm a big hockey fan, so let's talk a little hockey before we get into some baseball stuff. So, is Pittsburgh your team, or?
No, don't you ever say that.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I live right near Hershey, and so we have an AHL team, which is like the minor league, and so their team is the Hershey Bears, and they have an affiliation with the Washington Capitals. So the Capitals are my team because the players kind of go up and down, so it's like their farm team, basically. So we see a lot of the younger kids play, and then they go up and play in the NHL. So the Capitals are my team. They won the President's Cup this year, which is the best record in the entire NHL. So this might be their year. They haven't ever won a Stanley Cup. So,
and they're up 3-2 right now against the Flyers. And quite honestly, I don't think that one's going to go 7. I think the Caps are going to take it next game. But what do you think? What's your take?
Well, the Caps won the first 3 games in a pretty dominating fashion. And then Philly changed their goalie. And their goalie has been spot on. So he had 44 saves the last game. And so he's been on fire. And the funny thing is the goalie was one that Washington had traded away a couple of years ago. So it's definitely been interesting because the Capitals had the first 3 games and then Philly's won the last 2. And today they're playing in Philly. So it might go 7, which is going to be interesting. So
definitely would be interesting if it does. Now, I don't think many teams have come back from a 3-0 deficit and won a series. But I do know that happened a couple of years ago with the Flyers and Bruins, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Flyers did it in 2010.
Yeah.
So.
And they were down 3-0 and 3-0 going into the third period of that fourth game, and they still won it. It was incredible.
Crazy.
Well, my team is the Winnipeg Jets, and so I've got no playoffs to talk about. So let's go right into today's show. Everybody, we will be back in just a little bit. Stick around. All right, Joe, so we are going to do a little bit of recap action next. This week, we have the Hanshin Tigers playing at home to the Yakult Swallows and then going on the road for 3 against the Hiroshima Carp. What was your viewing schedule like this week? How'd you do with that?
The first 2 games of the week, I guess. Spoiler alert, there wasn't a game on Thursday because of rain. I can catch those when I wake up in the morning and then catch the highlights for the whole thing. But the Carp game's a little more tough because I don't have TV access to those. And I have trouble streaming those on my phone. I can't get any of the streaming links to work on my phone. So I caught the highlights on YouTube, but, you know, what I could.
It's been tricky this season to get stuff to work on the smartphones for sure. But I found a really nice 13.5-minute highlight reel of one of the games from this weekend. So, I mean, at least the highlight reels are not just like, you know, 90 seconds or something like that. So you get like a decent chunk of the action anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump right into it. And we're going to go all the way back to Tuesday night. And typical me, you know, I didn't get a chance to make a lot of notes. And so my memory might be a little bit foggy on this one. But we were hosting the Swallows, and we were bringing Shintaro Fujinami to the mound against their Yoshihisa Naruse. And Naruse last time smoked us. And Fujinami, his last outing, not against the Swallows, but just in general, was not a spectacular one. So we're hoping for a rebound in this one, but he was not great. Fortunately, the Tigers were great because we won 8-4. The losing pitcher was Perez for them, and the winning pitcher for us, I believe, was Takahashi, and I think would be his like his second win of the season. This one was knotted up at 4 until the 8th inning when we exploded for 4 runs and put it out of reach, but an 8-4 final. Any impressions on that game? Who were some of the great players, or what were some of the great plays that you saw, Joe?
It was definitely kind of a team effort today, or for this game. But Nishioka came through with a double in the first inning to get us those 2 runs. So I thought that was, you know, definitely good, you know, to give us the original lead. And I always think that that's critical for a team effort, you know, to get the boys thinking that they can win the game. So he had a double in the first to get 2 RBIs.
And what a difference it makes compared to last year when we were always playing to get that first single run. You know what I mean? Like, it was always the Toritani leadoff single, the Yamato or Uemoto bunt, and then the Fukudome RBI that we were always hoping for, that magic formula. But this year it's just, you know, keep swinging. And, you know, we had 3 guys on base for Nishioka when he hit that double. So, I mean, like, that's a big difference from last year and previous year. So that was definitely nice to see. I'll agree with you on that. That was a huge inning. The one thing that I felt was a real bummer was that we had a couple of real unfortunate double plays, and we also had 2 inning-ending non-hits by our catcher Umeno, who's just in a major funk this season. So in the second inning, he got on base on an error, but then Fujinami botched the sacrifice bunt. So that was a double play, and then Umeno hit into a double play. I think it was even an inning-ending double play. No, it wasn't. Sorry. Anyways, he hit into a double play when we had 2 men on base in the 4th inning, and that was real unfortunate because that really messed things up. We only got 1 run there where we could have gotten several.
Yeah, well, Fujinami got the run, so I think he got a hit, and then I think came in maybe on a wild pitch. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I don't see anybody charged with getting the run there, so.
Right. So, yeah, Fujinami actually, I mean, yeah, he kind of made up for his earlier mess up on the bunt. But Umeno went ahead in the 6th inning and ended that one as well. It was 2 outs and 1 man on, so it wasn't like a huge, you know, huge chance or anything like that. But he did ground out to 3rd to end that inning, and it was just kind of like the co-host last week, Tom, was saying, like, Umeno, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's not his year so far, and I really hope the kid can turn it around. But that 8th inning was something special, really. I mean, like, everybody was just doing their part. Like he said, it was a team effort, and honestly, like, nobody really stood out as having, like, that outstanding, you know, game, other than Nishioka having the RBI double in the first inning, and then he also got another hit and a walk, an intentional walk later in the game, but, yeah, great from top to bottom. It was good to see how they got the runs as well in the 8th, because there was a sac fly, there was a pinch hit single by Fukudome, and then there was an infield hit by Takayama, and those were all run-scoring hits. And so it was kind of cool that, you know, it wasn't like the typical way or anything like that, but we just found ways to score runs, so pretty cool stuff. Also, Rafael Dolis pitched the last frame in this one, and I think that was his... Was it his first action?
I think that's what I was going to ask you, but I think so. I guess it is.
Yeah, I believe that was his first action up with the team. He came in simply because we had the 4-run lead. It wasn't a safe situation, but of course we wanted him to get his feet wet, so it was nice. You know, he knocked him down 1-2-3. He struck out the final batter that he faced, and so he looked great up there. It was good to see him taking part and stuff like that. And I mean, you know, I've met him, I've talked to him, he's a nice guy. You know, just works hard, but he's staying positive no matter what happens. So even when he was down on the farm, it's not like he was, you know, being all negative or pessimistic, like, man, I'm never gonna get my chance. Like, he got his chance and he took advantage of it in that game, so that was really great to see. All right, next game we got Yamanaka on the mound for them. He's kind of a submarine pitcher, and we brought first time pitcher Koki Moriya, who was the 4th-round pick in the 2014 draft. And I think when he was drafted, he was kind of... I thought they had expected him to become a reliever, but somehow along the way, he ended up switching or, you know, he's a starter now anyways, and he was doing really well on the farm. Tonight was not his night. He ended up being the losing pitcher. He gave up 5 runs in 4 innings, and we lost this one 5-1, pardon me. Never really was a close one. So, yeah, any thoughts here, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, even our only single run here was a Gomez home run, and it barely made it inside the left foul pole. So we almost had nothing here. But, you know, 8 hits and 1 run, that's kind of tough to see them all scattered like that. Nothing really consistent. But, you know, we seem to have start off the innings pretty decently, you know, but then we could never follow it up, which is kind of, you know, it's really tough to see, you know, how many innings here do we have the first runner on the, you know, on the bag every time and get nothing out of it. Yeah. It's kind of tough to see.
Yeah. It looks like we had at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 innings that we let off, 6 innings that we let off with a guy getting on base. It's interesting thoughts you had there, Joe. And what you said actually just reminded me of what we said a couple of weeks ago when you were saying, yeah, when you can allow 8 hits and only have 1 run scored against, you're doing something right. So now the tides have been turned on us. And so it's kind of the opposite. It's really unfortunate. But that's exactly what happened.
Came in to catch for this game, which I thought was kind of strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another interesting thing to note. Yeah, Shimizu got called up along with Moriya in this one. And I think it's because they probably paired up on the farm and maybe Moriya felt really comfy with him. And it was just interesting, though, to make his first game as a pro, you know, being called by a guy who seldom gets the call up here and maybe does not know the hitters so well. And you know, certainly it did not pay off. But one of the things that I felt was I think particularly it was in the second inning where the Swallows got 2 consecutive infield hits to shortstop. And I don't want to fault Toritani too much, but it was those two. But then there was also, I think, another one that I think just got over his head. It might have been the same inning, or it might have been the inning before, or pardon me, the inning after. I'm not really sure. I think it was that inning. But it just seems like, you know, his defense is kind of going down. Actually, in this game, there were 3 infield hits to short total. And one of them was by Valentin, who's not really known. He's not really known for his speed. But I don't remember the hit exactly. So it may have been just right in the hole and Toritani was able to stop it but not make the throw. I forget. But I thought it was really sad. And I really felt like, you know, if Moriya had been blessed with a little bit of a better defense behind him, maybe he wouldn't have allowed 5 runs. Now, I don't think we deserve to win the game because they killed us with tons of hits. And, you know, they had a long ball hit by Yamada. And they were just all over our pitching. But yeah, like you said, Gomez with the one and only, you know, run scoring hit, the home run. So kind of a stinker of a game. Another side note, Dolis came in this one again and pitched a shutout inning. So 2 straight days, 2 straight shutouts. The only kind of blemish on his record was a walk. But then also, Sayuchi came in relief of Moriya in the 5th inning when there were no outs and the bases juiced. And man, I don't like the way that Sayuchi pitches most of the time. If you remember last year, Joe, he had more walks than he had strikeouts. And when you're a pitcher, that's a mark of shame right there. Mm-hmm. And he walked the first guy that he faced and it was bases loaded. So that first, you know, first plate appearance against him was a run scored. Of course, it went on Moriya's tab, but I was cringing. But fortunately, Sayuchi got the inning the rest of the way unscathed. So that was kind of nice to see. And his ERA remains 0, even though he's allowed some of his inherited runners to score. What's your take on that, though? Like, I mean, when, you know, I understand it not counting against his ERA and stuff like that, but, you know, I kind of think maybe they need to choose better guys to come in relief when there are runners on base, because it seems like Sayuchi allows a lot of his inherited runners to cross home.
I think the game was kind of already out of hand at that point. I don't know. You're down.
Sure.
We're down, what, 4?
It was 4-1 already.
4-1.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So it's only the 5th inning, so it's tough to say that we were done. But, you know, you know, maybe one of the metrics that we should try to find is how many, you know, runs are allowed that, you know, aren't necessarily charged to that person, but at least come in relief and allow a run. Because that'd be interesting to see kind of our relievers and how they compare with that stat.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So. And I know he's not the only one that's guilty of that as well, because Fukuhara has done that a couple times. So, you know, it happens often, but it would be nice to see some of our relievers really hang in there when there's runners on base and they come in.
It makes me think of the Hondo one a couple weeks ago where he came in and shut it down. So,
and I think he recorded one out and he got co-hero of the game. Actually, that was the Fujinami, wasn't it? Just the day before. But certainly great to see him doing that. And, you know, it's almost, though, it's like referees or umpires in a sense. Like, when relievers come in with guys on base and they shut her down, we usually don't take notice. Mm-hmm. But it's when they don't do what they're supposed to do or what we hope they do that we take notice and find fault. And it's the same thing with referees. Like, nobody at the end of a game says, oh, the referee or the umpire, you know, did a great job today, for the most part. You know, it's only when they screw up that they actually stand out. And so it's kind of unfortunate for relievers in that sense as well. One more note about this game. Yokota actually was in the leadoff slot in this one. And Yamato batted second. So that was a completely different 1-2 than we had seen all season. And both of them actually got hits. I mean, Yokota went 1-for-4 and Yamato went 2-for-4. So not too bad. Not too bad at all. But again, we weren't able to cash in runs. Okay, so as we said, the Thursday game was rained out. That one was actually supposed to take place in Kurashiki, Okayama Prefecture. One game a year that they get, and now they don't get anything because the makeup game will be in September and it's going to be at Koshien Stadium. So, people of Kurashiki, sorry. Really sorry. All right, everybody, for the second half of the game recaps, we actually have a special guest on the line. Some of you may remember that we did a Hiroshima Carp preview in the off season, and Stuart joined us. And Stuart's back to talk about this series with us. Welcome, Stuart.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Good to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us so early in the morning from where you are.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, good stuff. So Stuart, how do you feel the season's gone so far for the Carp on the whole?
I feel it's gone. The offense has actually been surprisingly good. I mean, I felt that before Luna got hurt, Luna was hitting really well. I mean, his fielding's been kind of meh. And I feel that their bullpen has still been playing like utter crap. At least they called down, I believe they called down a couple guys, Ren Nakata, I know, who was playing like absolute crap, they called down, and they called up Aaron Curry and Tota, and they both pitched yesterday, and they both pitched pretty darn well.
There you go. Yeah, certainly, I think the Carp actually have the best hitting team right now in the Central, as far as batting average goes, so it's gone well for them, and obviously, I mean, they were sitting in third place, at one point, and now they're down in fourth place. But, you know, it's really tight up there. So they're above 500, just like the Tigers and just like the Surprise Dragons and the league-leading Giants. So let's jump into the action here. We're looking at Friday's game, and, man, what a game. Starting pitcher for us, Randy Messenger. Starting pitcher for you was so-and-so Yokoyama. I don't know his first
name. Hiroki Yokoyama.
Hiroki, pardon me. Little slip there. So Yokoyama had our number the last time we faced you guys, but this time around, man, I mean, it was just a bloodbath. I mean, you know, these guys went blow for blow and just kept slugging at each other. The final score was 12-9. The Tigers came out on top. Randy Messenger actually got the win despite allowing 7 runs in 5 innings pitched. And, of course, Yokoyama got the loss because he left before the second inning ended and he had given up 7 runs. So, huge game. Somehow, though, you guys only went through 5 pitchers, which is not bad considering how little your starter pitched. And then we actually used 6 pitchers on the night. But impressions on the game, guys, Joe or Stuart, go for it. Or let's start with Stuart, our guest.
My impressions on the game was that Hiroki Okuyama is just a young rookie pitcher, and this type of game was bound to happen. They always happen to young pitchers just getting absolutely shelled in like the first two innings. And that this game was kind of the end for Ren Nakata and Oscar Nakaoshi, who both pitched not that well at all. That's why they got called down after this game. But I did like the fact that Eldred is still flipping slugging like crazy. I mean, he's had a great season so far.
Yes. And the thing with him is he's improved he's improved his average big time. And I think his strikeouts have gone down, you know, quite significantly as well. But two bombs in this one for Eldred.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, any thoughts on the game?
Definitely 19 hits. Anytime you can see that on the scoreboard, you'll take it. Yeah, 12 runs. So that's good conversion there. I think Gomez got hit by pitch twice in this game.
That's right.
If I remember correctly. So, I guess getting on base any way you can, I guess that does kind of lead to the bad pitching, you know, getting hit twice in the same game. It can kind of start to get you frustrated, but I think everybody across the lineup had their hits tonight. So it was, or for this game. So it was definitely a team effort. There really wasn't a whole lot of standout, but our relief came through, did okay. Takahashi kind of struggled there, gave up a run, and Okita gave up a run. So, it's pretty solid relief, especially in a game where the first couple innings are that many runs to come through and only give up two runs in relief. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the fortunate thing is they had a decent lead to play with, and neither of those runs that they gave up were crucial. They did kind of make me a little bit nervous, both of them, just in the sense that it's like, okay, well, is this going to start spark a big rally for the Carp? Now, one of the things that was interesting about this game is that both of the teams led off the first inning with four straight hits. So there were no outs until the fifth batter for each team. And in fact, our fifth batter was a sac fly. Both teams had a huge first innings. It was 4-3 after one inning. So Randy got the 3-run lead, and you know, 3 runs is more than he got in a whole game last season. And he choked on it in the first inning, but the team came right back, and it was Toritani with a 3-run home run in the second inning, his first of the year. And I noted today to somebody else who didn't catch the game. They said, well, there were only 11 RBIs on 12 and 12 runs. Where was the other run? It was in that inning where there was a wild pitch that scored a run. So Toritani would have gotten a grand slam were it not for that wild pitch. But, So after an inning and a half of this one, the score was 7-4. It was just like, it's just a crazy game. And there were only two fully clean innings the whole game. The fourth and ninth inning were both clean. So pretty wild stuff.
And also, Mateo came in and got the save, I guess, because it was only 3 runs. But he pitched 7 pitches to close the whole, to get a full inning. So I think that was pretty impressive.
Well, considering one of those outs was a strikeout as well. So, I mean, like, there goes at least 3 of your pitches. So the other 2 guys you got on, you know, an average of 2 pitches each, or maybe it was less. Yeah, good stuff. But, you know, it was really amazing to see just the resiliency of the Carp team, that they kept putting runs up on the board despite the fact that they spent the whole game, other than the bottom of the first inning, down, and down significantly. They just kept putting runs up. So it was a fun game to watch, even though it was really long, considering it was just a 9-inning game. It just went on and on and on. Anything else to mention, Stuart?
Also, I just wanted to mention how hot Kikuchi's been so far this year. I mean, he's batting like 360, which is really high for Kikuchi. Usually he's like a low, high 200 hitter.
Yeah, he's getting on base at a good clip. And it seems to me that they're top of the order really 1 through 5 have been really consistent with Tanaka, Kikuchi, Maru, Arai, and Eldred. Because Arai's having a great year so far as well. Maru is doing much better than he did last year, and Tanaka's been good in that leadoff spot as well. So, that game really showcased the Carp bats for sure.
Yeah, as long as they can get their bullpen under control.
Well, I'll tell you, we love Nakazaki because he just seems to be able. He just seems to continue to give up runs and walk our guys and make games interesting, even when they have no business being interesting. Speaking of which. Let's move on to Saturday's game then. We brought in Yuta Iwasada, who has been incredible in his first three starts of the season. Somehow only has one win to show for it. And he went up against somebody, Kuroda, I forget his first name.
Rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a joke. Sorry, thanks for laughing. So Hiroki Kuroda. And Kuroda has really had our number badly since he's come back from the majors. I think he's 5-0 against us, including this game, because the Carp won 3-2. And the winning pitcher was Kuroda. Losing pitcher was Iwasada, despite him just giving up the one run. And then Nakazaki got the save for you guys. Probably didn't deserve it, but he got it. So any thoughts on this game? We'll start with Joe this time.
I didn't catch much of this one, but, you know, it's kind of a quiet game. You know, Dolis came in and gave up two in the eighth, so that was kind of tough to see him come in, because he had been doing pretty good in his first two games before that, or three games, I guess. He was in all three, so.
Yeah.
He gave up two in relief, so it was kind of tough to see that, but other than that, it was kind of another one of those quiet nights, except for Gomez's single swing, and so.
Yeah, yeah, and Gomez was our only guy with multi-hits. I mean, we only had 5 hits on the night, so, yeah, it definitely was, or on the day, I should say. It was a tough game to watch. It was a, from start to finish, the Tigers just kind of looked like maybe their arms were exhausted from the day before or whatever, but then, the Carp managed to put together a decent amount of hits and stuff like that. So, Stuart, any thoughts on Saturday's game?
It was pretty much just a quiet pitcher's duel both ways. I mean, Kuroda looked really good. I mean, he got through 7 innings, and then Matsuyama got that clutch pinch hit in, like, the eighth to get them up to free runs. And then Jay Jackson had another good outing. I mean, he's been a really good pickup for the Carp, I feel like, in relief. He should almost be the closer over Nakazaki, I think.
You think it may end up happening?
Luckily, Nakazaki has been able to get out of trouble, even if his... I mean, he has a .298 opponent's batting average, which is really high, but yet he still has a .245 ERA. I mean, he's kind of got lucky.
Yeah, I get the feeling his luck may run out. And poor guy, I mean, he's growing a beard to try and make himself look a little bit tougher, but it ain't fooling anybody. like we mentioned, Gomez got the lone run production for the Tigers with a 2-run shot in the 9th inning with one out. So that was that. I mean, it's nice to see Gomez continue his ways, though, of just hitting the ball really well, seeing the ball really well, and he's not striking out. He's not falling for the low outside pitches as much anymore. So that's really good to see on our end of things. And another thing just to note is that it seems like they're using Ando, our reliever, just in spot appearances. You know, a couple times now he's come in just for one batter, just to bail out the starting pitcher, but he's been doing really well in that role, so good for him. Hopefully he'll be able to continue that. I mean, he's kind of up there in age, and I don't know, maybe they need to start doing the same thing with Fukuhara, who got sent down to the farm earlier. Any final thoughts, guys, or should we move on to today's matchup?
Not so far. That was a pretty quiet game.
Yes. Yeah, certainly after the fireworks of Friday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's jump into Sunday then. Sunday, we brought Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and you guys brought Fukui. Yuya Fukui, am I right?
Yes.
Oh, I got a first name right. Amazing. Okay, so there we go. This one actually started off pretty slow as well, but we ended up taking it 6-2, and Nomi went the distance, so he got the win, and I believe Fukui got hung with the loss because he was on the line for all 6 runs against. So, good for the Tigers going 2-1 in this one, or in this series, I should say. Thoughts on this game, Stuart, from the Carp perspective?
I mean, I thought Fukui was looking really good for the first few innings I was able to watch before I had to go to bed. But, I mean, it seems like Fukui's kind of been off this year. I mean, he has a 4.5 ERA. He gave up another 2 walks. It seems to be very on and off for him. Like, when he's on, he's really good, but then all of a sudden he just loses his control. Mm-hmm. And then the bats were kind of off this game. I mean, Arai had 2 hits, but other than that, it was only like 3 other hits from 3 different batters.
Right.
And then the Aizawa homer, and that was it.
Yeah. So the Aizawa homer was the lone run production for the Carp until the last inning.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, Stuart, you have not mentioned yet that Arai was gunning for his 2,000th career hit.
Yeah, he's one hit away.
Yeah, he ends up with 1,999 at the end of this series. So he poked out five hits, though, and some of them were real clutch. He got, I think, four RBI or maybe more during the series. I think it was actually five RBI in the series. So, you know, good for him. He's a former Tiger, so I can't cheer too hard against him. But, yeah, he's on the cusp of that big milestone, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah.
Joe, any thoughts on this one?
Definitely good to see Nomi turn back into his self again and actually have a good game and not throw up a stinker like you said earlier. So, nine innings, five hits, seven strikeouts, one walk, and two runs. That's a solid effort for sure. His pitch count was pretty low, if I remember. It was just over 100 for all nine innings.
104, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's why they kept him in there, but... because I was like, I looked at the score this morning. I go, holy cow, why'd they let him pitch all the way? But, with a low pitch count like that, I guess you can. So, definitely good offense, coming through in some good spots. Nomi got a hit in the fifth, and then Takayama took it deep to right field. So he got two runs there.
That was sweet. Did you catch that one, Stuart?
I did not.
You missed obviously I'm a Tigers fan, but I think that was the best home run of the series, and there were quite a few long balls in this one, but Takayama just made perfect contact. Sorry to cut you off there, Joe, continue.
No, it's just and then in the couple other, the second and the seventh, there was just some good consecutive hits there to get some runs in. So Fukudome on the seventh, good cleanup, is another, his second at bat of the week, and comes through and gets two RBIs. So definitely, coming in the clutch again with Fukudome. So, good week for him. So, all in all, got to rest the entire bullpen. So it was definitely worth it. And then, had just enough offense that, it was a comfortable game.
Sure was. 13 hits from our bats. And that includes two guys that ended up with three hit games. Toritani and Imanari both went 3-for-4. And then Takayama, like we said, he went 2-for-4 with the three RBIs, including the home run. But Okazaki actually did his part as well. I mean, he called a good game for Nomi, but then also he hit a sac fly. He got another base hit and a walk. So, I mean, he did a decent job at the plate as well. So really no complaints from top to bottom in the Tigers lineup. The only guy that went hitless was Gomez. Oh, pardon me, and Yamato. But Gomez had a great week, so we'll give him a mulligan on that one. So the Tigers went 2-1 against the Carp, and they went 1-1 against the Swallows. So they end the week 3-2, and I think I called a 3-3 week last week, although I got the numbers wrong. I said they go 1-2 against the Carp. But anyways, we're going to be moving forward, and hopefully things will go well. Stuart, any other comments, any thoughts about the Tigers game or the Tigers season so far before we move on to our next section?
I feel like the Tigers have been playing really well. I mean, Gomez has been playing well. I mean, I just feel like it's just shown that's going to be a really tight Central this year outside of the Swallows, which have been surprisingly underwhelming.
Yeah. Well, them and then also the Bay Stars. I picked the Bay Stars to finish third, and it's looking like a pretty awful pick right now. I really thought that having Ramirez as their manager, and then just the youth movement, that they would do a little bit better. But anyways, yeah, it's going to be a tight race, and every time that the Tigers face the Carp, man, it's going to be some good action, I really think. I mean, it seems like these teams match up well. So it's going to be fun to watch, and hopefully we'll face Kuroda never again. But otherwise, it's just fun. So it's good to have you on the show again, Stuart. And maybe the next time the Carp and Tigers face off, we can have you on again. But we'll just kind of play things by ear, based on your schedule and ours and stuff like that. But again, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. Later. Moving on ahead, let us move into Player of the Week. So this was a week in which we saw a lot of runs scored, Joe. We got 8 on Tuesday, we got 12 on Friday, and we got 6 more today. So some pretty big scoring games. Within that, do you have a preferred player of the week?
It was a tough week to nail down a single player. If we take a look at my top three, I will, in no particular order, I have Takayama, I have Gomez, and Toritani. And there's one name on that list that's probably not your normal conversation for player of the week, but I'm going to give it to him anyway. So Toritani is my player of the week.
Woo! All right, Toritani. So do you have like his final stat line for the week or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or
is some, yep. Yeah. He was 7 for 19 for the week. So he batted 368, which is definitely almost, you know, double his normal batting average, close to it. So, mm-hmm. you know, he definitely came through with a week. I think he had one game there, the Friday game, where he had 6 RBIs.
Yes.
That was the case. So, you know, definitely coming through, you know, towards the middle end of our lineup, which is huge, getting run support from that half of the lineup. You know, he had 4 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 1 home run. It was a 3-run home run. So mm-hmm. he, you know, even though he laid a goose egg on Saturday and got 0-for-4, he definitely had a productive week. And so he really stood out and you know, did what we expect of him at least one week this year. So I guess we can keep him on our team.
Oh, we can keep him. Oh, how kind of you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. No, I totally cannot even disagree with you on that. Cause I mean, Toritani was in my top 3 as well. What a coincidence. And, yeah, I mean, just very well done, you know, especially on Friday, but even the rest of the week. I mean, he had 3 hits today, and yeah, he's just turned the corner. I mean, his batting average has gone up, and seems to be stepping up at the right times, so definitely nice. He is now 2nd on the team in RBIs, and my player of the week is top in the team in RBIs, so I'm going with Mauro Gomez, and I'll explain why. I actually don't have his final line, but I think it was something like... I think it was
8 for 18.
Yeah, 8 yep. for 18, that's right. Because the first day of the week, he only officially had 2 at-bats because of a sac fly and a walk. Anyways, with Mauro, again, like his average was terrible until, really until this week perhaps, or maybe even late last week, I'm not really sure. But he had 2 home runs this week, and the thing about his 2 home runs is they both came in the losses. And that's kind of unfortunate, and it's kind of a... not really a blemish necessarily, but it's kind of like, well, you know, he's maybe not hitting them when they matter or whatever. But I would say this, without Mauro Gomez, we would have been shut out twice this week. And that's pretty embarrassing in and of itself. His home run on Wednesday was our lone run. And like you said, it barely cleared the fence, but it gave us a run in the inning after they had taken a 2-0 lead. And that's really important. I really feel like when the other team gets a lead, the very next frame, if you can get at least some of it back, you're making a statement. Like, we're not going down like that. You know, we're still in this thing. And so he did that there. He said, we're still in this thing. And then his home run on Saturday in the 3-2 loss was the 2-run home run in the top of the 9th. So we're down 3-0. We have been limited to 4 hits in 8 innings, 7 of which were thrown by Kuroda, who is like our kryptonite. But Nakazaki is like the opposite of our kryptonite. I don't even know what that is, but we love that guy. We love him. So Gomez, with 1 out, hits a 2-run shot. And that immediately gives us hope. Like, hey, you know what? We're only down 1 run and we're going up against this guy that we don't seem to have problems getting hits off of. And certainly he's pretty good at walking us, which he walked a Yoshi. But, you know, both of those just made statements, I think, from Gomez saying, hey, you know, I'm not letting my team lose this easily. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I want to give my team a chance to win no matter what. So I love that about him. He also went the whole week until today without striking out. And then he finally struck out twice today. But he had a 5-game no strikeout streak, which I haven't checked back on his permanent record, but I would almost guess that might be a personal best. So yeah. Good on him. I'm with Mauro on that, and runner-up for both of us might be Takayama then, because he was outstanding today, and he had a pretty good week as well.
And I had an honorable mention to Fukudome. He had 2 pinch hit, you know, that came through with RBIs in both situations. So yes. For him being injured, I think that definitely, you know, means a lot to the team. So
yes. Yes, indeed. That was awesome. I mean, I loved watching him come up as a pinch hitter, even though we'd love to have him in for more at-bats. But yeah, great. Your dog's pretty excited too, I guess, about that. Awesome.
Yeah, I guess they just got up. So.
There you go. So the good news with Hukudome is I just read a brief article put out by Daily Sports, and they said that there is a chance that he will be back in the starting lineup on Tuesday against the Giants. We need him. You know, our lineup, certainly, even though we punched out a lot of runs in this past week, we're going up against the Giants, and any extra firepower we can get is good. We also lost Nishioka sometime during Saturday's game or after Saturday's game. He's on the DL, or he's no longer on the active roster, I guess. And we brought up Ryota Arai. But basically, we're pretty much saying, Yamato, you're a guy at second. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Hojo can play second. I'm not really sure. But there's nobody else except maybe Imanari, who's kind of the utility guy. But we definitely need the firepower now. So hopefully Fukudome can come back.
Yeah, I think the last week, though, the Yamato or the Imanari, their bats were pretty decent this week. So, you know, as long as they're you know, doing their defense, which, you know, them being so young, I think they can handle it. So I think that, you know, we can work through that situation at least for a while.
Sure. I hope so. Anyways, the only knock I have on Yamato is today. And I mean, everybody has an off day, but his line today went ground out to short, ground out to pitcher, ground out to pitcher, and double play ground out to short. So not a good one for him today, but the rest of the week, yeah, he was pretty good. He had an awesome double on Friday. I think he actually had a couple or maybe three hits that day. And he's still batting over 300, and he seems to be swinging the bat better than he did last year. And I think part of that comes from Kanemoto saying, go out there and, you know, go for it. No more of this hit to right field kind of thing, you know. he's encouraged to actually pull the ball, which is maybe different for him. So, all right. So those are our players of the week, and I'm going to tally up. And now that we've done this probably like, what, four times already this season, I'm going to start to tally up the totals of who's winning at Player of the Week. I still haven't done so, but I will do so very soon. Okay, let's move into today's special topic. For today's topic, I want to discuss a certain young man who's not such a young man anymore, and he won Player of the Week this week, thanks to Joe. His name is Takashi Toritani, and he is our shortstop. Some of the things I want to talk about: the consecutive games and consecutive innings streaks, his future with the team, and his performance of late. Now, when I say performance of late, I'm kind of talking prior to this week, but you know, we can talk about it all together, right? We can talk about the whole package. So, first of all, let us talk about his game streak and his inning streak, or his consecutive games playing every inning streak, I guess you could call it. I don't know. It's just called full innings in Japanese. Anyways, gosh, I should have written down these numbers, but I think in a couple of games, he's going to be at 600 consecutive games in which he's played every inning. And I think his consecutive game streak is somewhere around 1600 or maybe a little bit higher than that. And I think his game streak is third or fourth all time in NPB. And his innings won as well is pretty high up there. But I've talked about the streak before. I've talked about my feelings on it. Joe, what's your take on this consecutive games, consecutive innings streak? How do you feel about it?
It's definitely something that you don't ever hear talked about in American baseball. You know, maybe in a couple rare situations, but you know, from what I can tell of what my history of Japanese baseball is, that seems to be quite the record that everybody loves. And you know, maybe my thoughts are, if you're a younger player and you can set some sort of, hey, I played in every inning this season, and then you're coming up to free agency, that means something. But when you're at Toritani's age and you're on the downslope of your career, what good does it make? And I think that, you know, if you look back a couple years ago, I think the Tigers got into a lot of trouble with, you know, Kanemoto and his streaks and trying to keep that alive, and then eventually got botched when he came in as a pinch hitter, I think. And then somebody got out on base, you know, stealing, and he got
Shunsuke.
You know, and that was the end of the game. So, it was, you know, I don't like it. You know, it's, you know, it's all just, it's just a stat that doesn't really mean a whole lot other than, you know, you were out there, you survived it all, you know, but, you know, as a benefit to the team, I don't see it, you know, keeping him out there all the time.
Yeah. Interestingly though, you know, Toritani will talk about two things at the same time, and they really seem to be at odds with each other. And one of them is that he says, you know, he wants to lead the team to a championship. And the other one is that he's insistent on playing every inning of every game. And to me, unless you're really that good, you shouldn't be playing every inning of every game.
Yeah.
Especially, like you said, especially his age. By the way, he'll be 35 in June. So, you know, playing shortstop at age 35 requires a lot of your energy. I mean, like, you know, you look at some of the greats in MLB history, Cal Ripken, dare I say A-Rod as one of them, you know, but you look at all these guys, sorry, I'm not talking Iron Man necessarily, but you know, these guys that played at shortstop that couldn't finish their careers at shortstop through no fault of their own, really. I mean, they just had to move to a less demanding position. You know, very few, you got guys like Jeter that played his whole career at shortstop, but very few guys can do it, you know, that deep into their careers. So if he is that insistent on playing every inning, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what position he could play in which he would be effective.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put him at, like, first base because then you lose the Gomez, the firepower hitter, you know. So it's like, you know, maybe you put him in the outfield, but again, he's still going to slow down. I mean, I remember the years when Kanemoto was just our, like a, you know, rock tied to your foot out in outfield, man. It was just rough. It was rough watching him play sometimes and not being able to get it all the way in, but he was playing. So, you know, I hate to see it. I'm not saying it's at that point yet, but I would hate to see it get there if he tries to continue his streaks.
So. Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, even this week, I mean, he had a couple of balls that he maybe in his younger days would have had, and he didn't. You know, hits that he couldn't reach, or ground balls that he couldn't field cleanly, or throws that he would have made earlier. It just seems like his defensive game has really taken a dive lately. I still can't believe he won the Golden Glove last year. And, you know, if he wins it this year, I'm not even going to pay attention beyond 2016 as to who wins, because he clearly does not deserve it. There's no way he should get it. But, let's move right into then his future. Like you were saying, he really can't move to first base. Moving him to second base doesn't really make any sense either, because it's almost equally demanding a position. I mean,
right.
You have to cover a lot of ground. The ball may not get to you quite as quickly, maybe, because there's maybe a little bit less, maybe fewer pull hitters pulling the ball to that side, but it's still a demanding position. And then third base, we've got enough of a log jam there as it is, right?
Yeah. It's just like third base seems to be the place where you put the people that are just making it on the team that, you know, have just enough defensive skills, you know, and so it's tough. I think that's probably why he's still sitting at shortstop, to be honest.
Right. Yeah.
Because who else would you put in his spot? You know, that's tough. You know, to find somebody that you could put in his spot and get, you know, at least the same batting average and, you know, the equivalent defense. You know, if you look at it from that perspective, I don't think we have somebody, you know, that's ready for that.
I suppose. I mean, you could put Yamato, though. I mean, he would provide better defense, and his batting average, I mean, if you look at this year, it wouldn't be... It certainly wouldn't be worse than Torrey's, but
yeah.
Obviously we'd have to look at the full picture to be able to say that he could do it. But you know, that's an argument that it's kind of how can I put it? It's putting the carriage before the horse or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's nobody there that can replace him, but why? Because nobody has replaced him. Nobody has had the chance to step up and do it. So I mean, obviously, nobody's going to get so good on the farm that they're going to replace him. And the problem is that they've never given anyone else playing time at shortstop, you know, for the past decade. So, of course, nobody's going to replace him. That's the problem. So, on that note, I mean, we do have two more years of Toritani. Actually, two plus this year, right? He's signed through the end of 2018 season. And he's making big bucks. He's making 400 million yen per season. So roughly $3.5 million per season, which is top on the team by far. So again, you know, do you continue to say, well, we're paying him this much, we better put him in? Or do we throw him in the outfield and hope that he can do something there? Or is he going to turn into the Kanemoto in left field? Or, you know, I actually felt like Brad Eldred of the Carp looked like looked a little bit like a aging Kanemoto out there today. He's slow, man. He made one nice play, but I mean, it just seems like the Tigers players are saying, hit it to left, because he's, you know, if we got a runner on first, he's going to get third base automatically, or, yeah. You know, it's one of those things. Anyways.
I'd like to see, you know, if somehow they can end his inning streak or something, you know, so that he doesn't have to play in every inning. He can play in every game. I'm fine with that.
Oh, but yeah, me too.
To the point where, you know, okay, in the seventh inning, he's coming up to bat, and we got runners on, and you're like, oh, man, you know, wish we could bring somebody in. You know, like Fukudome right now would be a good example. Somebody you would love to have bat in that exact situation, but it's like, it's the seventh or eighth inning, you can't do it, because he's got to play in every inning. So it's like, you know, it's times like that where, or even if you do that, you throw in a pinch hitter, and then you let somebody else play shortstop for the eighth and ninth innings, it's not the end of the world. So, you know, there's got to be something that breaks his streak to let the team do that, or, you know, maybe realize that the streak isn't that important, maybe. But right. I don't know where he sits on the ranking as far as, you know, is he only, like, a couple games away from passing somebody, and then he's got a huge stretch where it's another year and a half till the next one or something like that, where they want to get him above a certain level and then can let it go, or I don't know, but...
Actually, I haven't looked at the full rankings either, but I know that he has no chance of breaking Kanemoto's full innings game streak, which is something like 1,473. Yeah, 1,473. And then, you know, Toritani, like I said, I think he's reaching 600 in a couple of games here. Maybe, I don't know, maybe when he reaches a certain plateau or when he passes somebody or whatever, it might be a little bit easier. But I would also like to see it even in games that are... there are blowouts one way or the other. Like if we're up 5 runs or down 5 runs or whatever, and it's the seventh inning, say, okay, well, let's give Hojo some time at shortstop because that is his natural position. And it'll give us a chance to look ahead to the future post Toritani. And that's the other thing. I mean, sorry to dog on Toritani so much, but I mean, if he is a team player, truly a team player and wants the best for the Tigers, then he shouldn't be hogging all the playing time. He should be saying, look, like I'm 34. I'm not going to be able to do this forever. I really need to start grooming somebody that can take over for me and play at a high level, which means yielding some playing time to him.
Right.
So I'm waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, I think if this week is the kind of the one week that stands out for his season this year, you know, in at least the first half, I really hope they think about, really think this through. You know, give him some time, but, you know, he's had almost, you know, about a full month at this point, and yeah, he had one good week, but, you know, give him some more time. But, you know, if he struggles like he was, you know, the first couple weeks of the season, then, you know, it really needs to be thought about. You know, start getting some time, you know, a game here, you know, bring him in as a pinch hitter, get him his game streak, but, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's going to make huge headlines the day that Toritani is not in that starting lineup. I mean, it's got to come. It's got to come. But man, it's going to be hard for fans and even the team alike. But
yeah, it's a heck of a feat, though. I mean, not to have any kind of injury that's bad enough to keep you out for any single inning is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, so. Definitely. Hats off to him for his hard work and just his dedication to greatness. But yeah, I think it's just high time to start
dedication and mediocrity, maybe.
Recently. yeah, no doubt. Because last season he wasn't great either. Okay, Joe, let's talk about the week ahead. I don't know. We've had two straight weeks where one game has been rained out, and I was checking the forecast. We're playing all our games at Koshien Stadium this week, and it looks like we might be getting some rain some of the week, and I'm not sure if it'll be enough to postpone games, but we got 3 against the Giants and 3 against the Bay Stars. You got any thoughts?
Let me ask you a question. Do you know if we're playing against Sugano?
I believe we probably are, although he pitched a little bit later this week than he had in previous weeks. I think... Gosh. Give me a second, I'll look it up.
Yeah. All right, well...
I think we are. We're probably going to get him on Thursday, though, is my guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, that's always a tough one, especially this year. I think we're, I don't know how many runs we've had against him this year. Any, maybe. But, you know, so I'd like to see us. I think we'll take 2 of the Giants, you know, really kind of claim our, you know, our dominance over them back, especially Koshien, because that atmosphere is second to none. So we need to take two out of the three on the Giants. If we have Sugano, yeah, I'll give him that one maybe. But so 2 out of 3 against the Giants, and then who are we playing again at the end of the week? Sorry, the
Bay Stars.
Chunichi? Oh, Bay Stars.
Bay Stars, yeah.
Bottom of the bucket, Bay Stars, huh? They've been struggling. So, yeah, let's say we take 3 out of the Bay Stars and 5-1.
Wow, big week. Big call for Joe.
The bats keep coming through, though. You know, I think it can happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you're right. Actually, sorry, I just looked it up. Sugano pitched on Friday.
Wow.
So if, I mean, they could slide him in on Thursday on short rest. It just really depends. And this is a guy that has gone, and not just against the Tigers, but he pitched a complete game shutout against the Tigers. His next outing, I forget who it was against, he went complete game shutout there as well. And then in this one, he left this past Friday. He left, I think it was after 6 or 7 innings. And he had been working on a shutout, but I'm not exactly sure what happened. I never saw the details of it. But the kid's on fire. The kid's on fire. And so I hope that they do stick him on Friday instead of Thursday. We can avoid him. Yeah, he went on Friday. He went 7 innings, pitched 89, threw 89 pitches and allowed only 2 hits. So I don't know if he got hurt. Something shook him up. Anyways, I'm actually really excited about this upcoming series, and I think Fujinami is going to pitch a gem, and I think Randy's going to pitch a gem. So I'd say we get 2 out of 3. No, I'm going to go bold, and I'm going to say that the Tigers actually go 3-0 against the Giants, but then they drop 1-2 the Bay Stars because they get a little bit too cocky. But I'm also going to go 5-1. I'm just going to kind of switch things up here because I think Iwata now has not pitched for, oh gosh, a week and a half since, or it's been a week, but will have been a week and a half by the time he gets in there. So either he or maybe Kyuji will go on Wednesday. And I really hope that whichever one it is, they're coming in on quite a bit of rest. Hopefully they'll be able to do some good stuff as well.
Yeah. Got Kyuji might be back for one. So that'll be interesting. Yeah.
It's yet to be determined, but hopefully, yeah. So I'm going to go 3-0 against the Giants. And then I'm going to say somehow, maybe because of inferior pitching, maybe because of overconfidence, whatever, we drop 1 to DeNA, but 5-1 on the week. So, prove us right, Tigers. Prove us right.
Absolutely.
We're moving on. Just the last segment here, we're on to announcements. And the first one actually is kind of an unfortunate one. I think I'd mentioned a few weeks ago, and I think, Joe, you were on the show when I mentioned that Vice had contacted me and they were going to do a special on the Tigers versus Giants. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got further word from them and they said that unfortunately they're not able to do it on the 26th, which is the day they were planning to be at Koshien. And I was supposed to help out because the Tigers said there's already enough pressure and enough going on during this first game against the Giants of the season. So they're delaying it. It's probably going to end up happening in July. So I'm kind of bummed out about that because I had tickets lined up for the game. Then I got rid of the tickets in order to work with Vice. And now Vice canceled on me, so I'm not going to the game on Tuesday. But the good news is I'll hopefully be at Wednesday's game. Yeah. The second announcement or whatever is about the fantasy league that we're doing. And again, it's just 3 guys, but I'm starting to think about ways to develop it for next season so that it's going to be kind of head-to-head matchups and stuff like that. And I really have to get my Excel skills up there, but I think I could do it.
I can help you out there.
Awesome. That would be great. I'm talking to an accountant too. Sweet. All right. So with the fantasy league this year so far, I've been just like blazing a trail through everybody, especially in the hitting department. My pitching has gotten rocked. I had Nomi last week do the stinker. Moria threw a stinker this week. Fujinami again was not great this week, but fortunately Nomi bailed me out today with a good outing. But my farm pitchers also struggled pretty bad as well. So it looks like I'll still have a lead. But you all can check the website. I'm going to post the update about the fantasy league. www.thehuntingtigers.com, and probably on Monday night or Tuesday morning that will be up. So look for that. And like I said, keep your eyes open, your ears open for next year's Fantasy Tigers, because I'm going to start thinking about it now and get things ready. And so start getting excited, folks. All right. Finally, just if you need to contact us about anything, or if you would like to, chime in on some of the stuff we talked about. What are your thoughts on the Toritani streak? What are your thoughts on his consecutive games, consecutive innings, his future? You know, should he stay at shortstop? What position do you think he should play at, etc.? Send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com, or you can also hit me up on Twitter @thehanshintiger, or just talk to us on Facebook. We've got the Facebook group and the Facebook page, and if you don't know where to find those, hit me up with the email and I'll let you know. It's been great having you on the show tonight, Joe. And hopefully we can do this again real soon.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Imawa iwasete.